from Luke's Gospel, chapter 18, the first 8 verses. Then Jesus told them a parable about their need to pray always and not lose heart. He said, in a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor had respect for people. In that city there was a widow who kept coming to him and saying, "Grant me justice against my opponent." For a while he refused, but later he said to himself, "Though I have no fear of God and no respect for anyone, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will grant her justice so that she may not wear me out continually coming." And the Lord said, "Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long in helping them? I tell you, he will quickly grant justice to them. And yet when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" The Gospel of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. So a couple of churches ago that I served, I got to visit an elderly couple. I would go visit them quite often. Ruby and Julius were their names, and they lived out in the country. They were probably about 90 years old at the time, and they lived in an old farmhouse. In fact, I think it was the house that Ruby grew up in, and I'd go see them. They lived out in the country, and I'd go see them. I'd pull up to the back door, because that's where you go, especially out in the country. You go visit people, you go to the back door. So I'd go out to the back door to see them, and they'd greet me there, and then I'd follow them in to their living room. Now, I had to follow close behind them. You had to walk through several rooms to get to the living room, because when you'd get to their house and go in their back door, it was to the kitchen, basically. And like I said, it was an old house, and it was pretty big, but it had lots of small rooms, pretty much not really connected in any logical order. I'd visit them in the evening, and we'd pass through the rooms, and Julius would turn on the light. I mostly would go see him in the evenings when it was getting dark. He would turn on the light, then Ruby and I would walk through the room. He would turn off the light, and he'd walk through in the dark. And then he'd turn on the light in the next room, and we'd walk through. He'd turn it off and follow in the dark. And we'd do this for 3 or 4 rooms, him turning the light on just for us and then turning it off again. And we'd go all the way throughout the house until we finally got to the sitting room, where we would be illuminated by an oil lamp. And Julius, see, he was a pretty interesting guy. He was raised in Chicago. He joined the Navy and ended up on a ranch in Texas. And I preached his funeral probably about 10 years ago. And Julius was one that believed in electricity, but he used it sparingly. And I think that's how some of us tend to approach prayer. We believe in prayer. We know the promises that God has made. We've heard stories, and we've experienced how God answers prayers, but we still use prayer sparingly. It might be because we don't really understand how prayer works. It might be that some of us think God's going to do what God's going to do, so why bother, you know, with prayer? Sometimes we look at prayer as a last resort. Hey, I've tried everything else. Everything else I've tried to do hasn't worked. I guess I'll finally go ahead and pray about it. But often I think we also have a tendency to view prayer as not making that big of an impact on the decisions that we make day to day. Last week, we looked at one of the heavy hitters of prayer, Elijah. It's who we looked at to start off this series on prayer. We talked about prayer being focused and persistent and specific and expectant, and prayer being a witness. Now, it's that second characteristic that I want us to go a little bit deeper on, that persistent prayer. Persistence is what I want to focus on today. And Jesus told this parable in our reading from Luke about a persistent widow nagging a judge over and over and over until he finally gave in. Now, the point of the story is not that we should nag God until we get our way. The point Jesus was making is that when we ask God, our loving God, when we pray, how much more likely is God to answer our prayers than, say, this corrupt judge that he lifted up in Scripture? Even the corrupt judge, when he finally hears us, helps out. But it was eventually. Won't God help us out right away? Won't God hear and respond right away? Of course. Of course. And we're going to go deeper into that in just a minute. We're going to go to the Old Testament. We're going to look at Daniel. We're going to see how Daniel was persistent in his prayers. And we're going to get to see the curtains pulled back a little bit on what's going on behind the scenes in our prayer lives. Daniel was certainly persistent in his prayers. Many of us remember Daniel as the guy from the children's stories in the Bible. You know, he was the guy that was locked in the lion's den and the lions didn't eat him. The king really kind of liked Daniel, but was tricked into sentencing Daniel to death by feeding him to the lions. You know, the stuff that children's stories are made of. Daniel was in the lion's den and he prayed, and come morning the lions hadn't bothered him, hadn't touched him. See, Daniel prayed each day, three times a day, and we find at one point in Daniel, as we look through Daniel, we find that Daniel is in prayer for 21 days straight, and it seems like nothing's happening. Looking specifically at chapter 10 of Daniel, and I'll be real honest here, I'm not going to really get into the content of what Daniel's praying, but I want to look at the persistent aspects, and there's some things about Daniel's prayer. It's one of the reasons we didn't read through Daniel in our scripture readings today, is because it's difficult. A lot of this in Daniel is long, and we would be here reading chapters and chapters to really get the essence of it. So in a particular reading, so I'm gonna kind of tell what's going on through Daniel and highlight a few things. But the second half, if you're wanting to go home and read through Daniel, go ahead and do it. But I'll warn you, the first half of Daniel is a little bit more fun. It has the story about the lion's den. It has the story of Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego who dance in the fiery furnace and don't get burned up, and some fun things like that. The second half of Daniel is a little bit more difficult to understand. We've got basically three different languages that comes together in the second half, and sometimes Hebrew and the Greek offerings, manuscripts don't really make it easy to understand. So again, what we'll talk about in Daniel here is more of kind of what's going on and this persistent aspect of his prayer. So I want to focus on the persistent aspect. We're told that Daniel prayed for 21 days straight without an answer. Daniel says he's been in mourning for 3 weeks because he hasn't gotten an answer. Why hasn't God answered his prayer? I think many of us can probably relate to that at times. We pray and we wait, and God doesn't come to our rescue right away. Why not? Why does it seem so hard to get God's attention sometimes? Well, we live in an age of instant gratification. There's almost nothing that we can't find an answer to immediately. Usually I leave my phone in my office during worship, but I'll prove it to you. Siri, how many licks does it take to get to the Tootsie Roll Center of a Tootsie Pop?
3,481.
3,400. You went for decades thinking it was three, didn't you? You remember the commercial? How many licks does it take? The wise old owl, one, two, three, and he bites it, right? For a long time, they, in that commercial that said, the world may never know. Well, they didn't know in the 70s that we were going to have Siri. So we live in this age of instant gratification. We want to know what we want to get an answer right away. We get frustrated. You can imagine Daniel's frustration after 3 weeks. He thinks God's not answering his prayer. Sometimes it feels like God's not answering our prayer. But we need to keep on praying. Keep on praying. Here's how it played out in Daniel. And again, I'm going to give you the gist of what's going on in Daniel. Daniel prayed, and then 3 weeks later, an angel shows up. And the angel says, since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to them. The key thing, since the first day, and your words were heard. Since the first day, and your words were heard. Now, please bear with me here. I'm going to talk about angels and demonic forces for a moment. And I know that that's not something that we talk much about in this age of education. But every time that you and I pray, not only does God hear our prayers, but an angel is immediately sent from the throne of God to answer our prayers. But why does it take so long? Well, I want to read a part of the passage here, continuing in Daniel. And this is the angel talking to Daniel. It'll be what we just read, but then we'll go a little bit further. The angel is talking to Daniel. The angel has come to help and is now explaining to Daniel what's been happening since he started praying. Should I have my glasses on? Okay. He said to me, do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and humble yourself before your God, your words have been heard, and I have come because of your words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia opposed me 21 days. So Michael, one of the chief princes, archangels, came to help me, and I left him there with the prince of the kingdom of Persia. So, God, what the angel is saying here is to Daniel, is Daniel, God heard your prayer, and I was sent, and demonic forces came against me and tried to stop me from getting to you, and I wrestled with these forces. I wrestled with this opposition. And Michael, the archangel, came and rescued me 21 days later so that I could get to you. That's what Scripture tells us. That story is pulling back the curtain on this heavenly realm of what's happening in our prayer lives and what's going on. Now, two of our kids, Sarah and Ethan, were involved in one-act play in high school. They were both very active, and one-act play is a UIL theater competition, and they both were successful, have 4 state championships between them. And one of the things that I really enjoyed in their competitions is that they would prepare by having a public performance. And when they did that, they didn't close the curtain. They kept the curtains open so that we could see what was going on backstage, and we could see what was going on when they were setting the stage, getting prepared for the show. Because ordinarily, you sit there and you wait for the curtains to open and you watch the show. But we got a chance to see what all goes into this performance and see people setting the stage and doing all of that. And that's kind of what's going on here in this scripture reading in Daniel. We're getting a look, a peek behind the curtain to see what's going on. We pray, and God hears our prayers. And often, what God does next is put things in motion to answer our prayers. See, we live in a real physical world, a world that God created. God created the world. God created the laws of physics that govern the things of our world. And everything that goes with it. But when we pray, when we pray, that causes God to start the ball rolling on our behalf. Now, sometimes obstacles get in the way, but not obstacles that cannot be overcome by God's will. In our reading from Daniel, the angel encountered an obstacle, the prince of Persia. But Daniel continued to pray. And as a result, Michael, the archangel, was sent to the rescue of the angel. Daniel's continued prayer kept things in motion. Daniel's faith was continually heard by God. In our lives, we pray for something and we don't get it. Do we just think right away that God didn't answer our prayers? God didn't hear us or God didn't care? Now, I hope you kept your prayer journal. We had prayer journals that we, I don't think I have one up here with me. But anyway, there's some in the narthex. If you came in, you didn't get one last week or you misplaced it, we have some, I think, in the narthex, some little prayer journals that I'd love for you to take with you and keep with you and fill out. But in them, it's for us to help stay focused in our prayers and an opportunity for us to be intentional about our prayers over the coming weeks and days and so forth. I'm working on my prayer journal. I've got some specific things in mind that I'm excited about them because I know that prayer works. I know sometimes it doesn't happen immediately, but God hears it immediately, and God sends things in motion immediately for us. Because you know what? First United Methodist Church was an answer to a specific prayer that I prayed over a year ago and continuously prayed it. I spent about 10 weeks in constant prayer for this church. Now, I've been the pastor here for about 7 months, got here in July, but over a year ago, I knew that I was probably going to be appointed, get a new appointment. I just didn't know where. And in the Methodist Church, for those of you that may not be familiar, you're here today, not familiar with how the Methodist appointment system works. Every year in the spring, Methodist pastors get a little antsy because we know at any moment we might get a phone call saying, hey, this is where you're being sent this year. But that year, I knew that that was probably going to be the case. So I started praying for a church. And I did not know anything about First United Methodist Church in Victoria. I didn't know this church, but I prayed that I would be appointed to a church that would be a good fit for me and that I would be a good fit for the church. So every single day for about 10 weeks, I described to God the church that I hoped to be appointed to. I said, I don't know if a church like this still exists, but if it does, I'd love to serve as the pastor. That's truly how I ended my prayer every single day. I don't know, God, if a church like this still exists, but if it does, I would love to be their pastor. I had never even been to Victoria, but God had. God has been in Victoria, and God knew that I was talking about y'all, even though I didn't know it. Jesus teaches us that we should pray and never give up. Keep praying. Every time you and I pray, God hears and God responds. You can't get discouraged in your prayers. Use your prayer journals. Don't just pray once or twice for something. Pray your prayers again and again and again and again. I prayed every day for 10 weeks. That's at least 70 prayers for a church that I didn't even know existed. Prayer is not a passive act. Sometimes people say, all I can do is pray, as if that's all you can do. Prayer is not a passive act. It is a big deal. Prayer isn't passive. In fact, prayer is an aggressive, active ministry. You can do it from anywhere. You can do it laying in bed. You can do it driving down the highway. You can do it kneeling at an altar rail. You can do it sitting in your recliner. It's not passive, though. It is an aggressive, active ministry for us to engage in. So pray. Empower the angels. Unleash the power of heaven. Prayer. God bless you. Our affirmation of faith today is the Apostles' Creed, and it's found at number 881 in your hymnal. Father Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived.